FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is June 10th, 2019. Well, the year is moving by, almost half over. We've got election nonsense in full swing. The current crop of Democratic candidates, I don't believe we've seen the last. I think someone else is going to join the last moment, but you never know about these things, do you? Well, anyways, the crop that's there now, very anti-gun, very anti-freedom, anti-Second Amendment for sure. We're going to talk with Dr. John R. Lott Jr., and you've heard him on the show a number of times, and you can find him at the Crime Prevention Research Center. The URL is crimeresearch.org. And hey, any questions or comments, just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, John, it's always great to have you on the show. So this bumper crop of 23 or 24 or 30, I don't know how many candidates there are at this point, is really the most anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment crop of Democrat candidates that we've ever seen before, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're all in favor of more gun control laws. And they're pretty much all in favor of at least the same basic set of laws. I suppose there's some minor differences across them otherwise. In the past, at least, you probably had at least one or two candidates who would be kind of more neutral or even relatively in favor of self-defense type issues. You had, I'm trying to remember, the former U.S. Senator from Virginia running in the primary last time.
Who was
strongly in favor of self-defense type issues, but he didn't last very long in the primaries there.
No, he didn't. No, it seems like there's no room left in the Democrat Party for anybody who's has any conservative inclinations, whether it be, well, whatever the topic is, whether it's right to life or whether it is anything for that matter, self-defense. They just seem to be unanimous. It's a little scary, the echo chamber there, isn't it?
Well, you expect at least, a little bit of variation there. But, even the governor of Montana, before he joined the race at the beginning of May, felt it was necessary to kind of push anti-gun stuff to kind of show his bona fides for everybody. There was a bill before the state legislature there dealing with preemption issues because some local governments in Montana had adopted various different types of gun control regulations. And in order to protect those regulations, the governor vetoed the bill there. So even the guy from Montana, who you would think would normally be relatively sympathetic towards gun ownership, felt it was necessary to prove that he was on the right side of that issue before he joined the presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, and Montana is a real pro Second Amendment state, right? Very liberal gun laws.
Mm. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah. So what's the world coming to here, John? I mean, what is going on? Is this mass insanity?
Well, I mean, I think they're making mistakes in terms of safety. I mean, just look at, after the Virginia Beach shooting that we just had, you had Democrats coming out within 2 or 3 hours, basically the whole field, even before we knew the facts of the case, calling for new gun control laws. It turns out that all the rules that they were calling for, from background checks on private transfers of guns to assault weapons bans would have been irrelevant for the attack that was that occurred there. None of them kind of deal with what I think was kind of a major issue in that, and that is we had yet another mass public shooting in a place where general citizens were banned from being able to go and protect themselves. Operation Building Number 2, the only people that were in it were municipal employees. It had like the mailroom and the IT center and other things there. And municipal employees in that particular municipality were banned from being able to go and have permanent concealed handguns. You had even the killer there had gone into a part of the building where you need to have an employee key card in order to get in. And so, you know, even if there happened to be some stray civilian who had been in the building, there's no way he would have gotten into the area where the shooting had occurred. The one person who wasn't an employee who was shot in the parking lot. He was by himself. Nobody else was in the parking lot when the killer shot him, but everybody else was a municipal employee. But this is something that we just see time after time after time. These killers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. Their goal is to try to go and kill as many people as possible. And they know if they go to a place where their victims aren't able to go and defend themselves, they're going to be able to go and kill more people. Even though all the municipal employees were banned from having permanent concealed handguns around, obviously this killer was the one person who broke the rules. Everybody else obeyed the local ordinances that were there. And but, you know, he took advantage of the fact that other people were obeying the rules, that he didn't have to worry about them being able to go and defend themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, very, very true. What you're saying there is definitely true. And we've seen this over and over again. Obviously, there's nothing new here. And yet, you know, the Democrats really, their only thing is massive disarmament, which we all know is just not going to work, because the only people that will be disarmed are law-abiding citizens, because only law-abiding citizens actually follow the law. What a novel concept.
Right. Well, I mean, you may make it somewhat more difficult for the criminals to have guns, but if your primary effect is to disarm law-abiding citizens relative to criminals, then you're going to make it relatively easier for those criminals to go and commit crimes. Look, the most common source of illegal guns are drug gangs. And the notion that somehow you're going to be any more successful in stopping criminals from getting a hold of guns from that source than you've been able to stop them from getting a hold of illegal drugs, if that's what they want to go and use, you know, good luck. You know, you can go and look at a country like Mexico, where only about 1% of the population of Mexico legally owns guns, that are registered and licensed to own a gun. They've had one gun store in Mexico since 1972. The most powerful rifle that you can buy in Mexico since 1972 is a 22 caliber short round gun, which obviously is about the least powerful rifle that you can go and buy. And yet Mexico has a murder rate that's about five times or more higher than what we have here in the United States. Obviously the drug gangs and others are able to go and bring in guns into the country just as they go and bring in drugs from the rest of the world. You know, and they're not getting the guns from the United States, despite what people claim. They're getting them, you know, from around the world. When I testified before the Mexican Senate and House Constitution Committees about a year and a half ago, I mean, it's just amazing hearing the stories about how, you know, the machine guns, the bazookas and rocket launchers and everything else that the drug gangs are able to go and get there. But the types of guns that they have there aren't the type of very limited guns that are able to be legally owned there in the country. Obviously, they have a real problem there. But so I'm just saying, I wish it was easy to go and stop criminals from going getting guns. The problem that you have, as you say, is that you have to be careful. You don't disarm the victims there relative to the criminals. So we see the same thing every place in the world that's tried to go and ban guns, whether it's all guns or all handguns. You've seen an increase in murder rates. There's not one place where guns have been banned that murder rates have even stayed the same, let alone fall. You think out of randomness, you'd find one place where murder rates had stayed the same or fallen. But no, every single time it's gone up. And for that simple reason that you were just talking about, and that is when you go and you ban guns, you're primarily going to be disarming law-abiding good citizens, not the criminals, and making it easier for criminals to commit the crime.
Yeah, that's so true. So getting back to the latest Democrat pack there of candidates, there's not one single one that is pro-Second Amendment, is there?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to trilogymetals.com. That's trilogymetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
No, unfortunately.
That's a little shocking, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, kind of, I think Michael Bloomberg's had a huge impact on the Democrats. Last election cycle, he spent $110 million just on congressional races. He spent at least as much on state legislative races across the country. He's promising this next year to spend $500 million on federal races alone. He's spending hundreds of millions of dollars on research that he funds. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He basically isn't just fighting the political battle that people have tried to fight before. He's trying to go and change people's underlying views about these things. He knows if he goes and funds a study, it's going to get uncritical news coverage. And so he just goes and puts out one study after another. And, you know, whether it's a dozen news sites that cover it or 1,000, it's just kind of like Chinese water torture out there. And the Democrats, he's very heavily involved in all their races. And so, you know, he's one big person there that I think that any of the Democrats who had, you know, over the years who had had, and last year is not the first time involved. He's been involved in several political cycles before that. And he's gone after with huge amounts of money, Democrats who he viewed as being on the wrong side of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's been pretty unrelenting in this campaign. But really, we've got some key cases now coming up before the Supreme Court, which really could blow the whole Second Amendment debate out of the water, right?
Well, I mean, it's you have one case that's coming up. I don't know how broadly or narrowly the Supreme Court's going to decide this. This is out of New York City, dealing with people being able to go and carry guns. New York City has some ridiculous regulations. One of the regulations that they have is that you have to have a license to own a gun, and that license limits you to where you can carry it. So if you were to have a license, you're only allowed to take it from your residence to one of the 7 approved firing ranges that exist in the city. You're not even allowed to take that gun from one residence to another, whether it be inside the city or someplace else. You're not even allowed to move the gun outside of the state of New York. Once once you have a gun there, it's stuck. You know, you'd think but the question that the Supreme Court's going to have to deal with is, are they going to look at something very narrowly, you know, just say that this particular law goes too far? Or they're going to, I assume, to some extent, they're going to affirm what Scalia had in the Heller decision, where he talked about what the terms to keep and to bear means. To keep, the argument meant essentially to own a gun in your home, and bear meant to carry. And he said that there was a fundamental right to both of those, but the Heller decision really didn't deal with bearing guns, carrying guns. That's what they called dicta, since it wasn't the actual case before the Supreme Court. So, you know, there's a range of things that can come up. It's likely to produce some precedent that will be used to, you know, bring further cases and gradually do this. Now, I'm not sure how much farther I'd want to go until you get maybe one more seat on the court. You know, having somebody like Ginsburg replaced would be very important, because Roberts, it's not exactly clear how far he's willing to go on that issue.
That is very true, I'm afraid. Yes, it is. There's definitely some hope for it. The Supreme Court, I mean, they're basically the courts, I should say the cities, New York City's limitations, draconian limitations on transporting, owning a handgun, even in your own home. It's equally, at least as bad as what Washington, D.C.'s draconian regulations. It's almost impossible to get a carry permit in New York City unless you're a celebrity or a very connected, powerful person. You just can't do it.
Right. So it's very restrictive. you know, the irony is Democrats say they care about minorities and poor people and women. But you look at Los Angeles and you look at New York City, where you have to go to some public official, a Democrat in both cases, and ask them for permission to be able to go and carry. And they're very restrictive in terms of the number of permits that they give out. But the types of permits that they give out are to wealthy, very politically connected individuals who, you know, so nationwide, about 34% of concealed carry permit holders are women. In Los Angeles, where I have complete data on all the permits that they gave out, like 274 out of the 8.5 million adults in the county, only 7% of the permit holders are women. Nationwide, about 13.5% of permit holders are Black. In Los Angeles, about 6.5%. Over half the population in Los Angeles County is Hispanic. Only about 6% or so of the permit holders in Los Angeles County are Hispanic. So, you know, it's one thing to go and say that they, and just before I go on, I should point out that if my research convinces me of anything, it's basically poor Blacks, particularly poor minorities who live in high crime urban areas, the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, who benefit the most from being able to have guns for protection. But whether you're having to go to a Democrat to get permission in Los Angeles County or in New York, those types of individuals will not be given a permit. I mean, it's assured that they're not going to be the ones, even if they can afford all the fees.
Right.
So in New York City, it costs something like over $800 just to go and do the fees to be able to go and get a concealed carry permit. So you pay the fees and you probably won't get the permit. But unless you are very politically connected there.
Yeah, we should.
And of course, both places don't give many permits to women who also benefit relatively more than men do from having guns. You're almost always talking about a male criminal doing the crime in the case of a female victim. There's a lot larger strength differential with the male attacking a female than a male attacking another male. And the presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change in a woman's ability to go and resist an attack than it does for a man. And yet, these Democratic officials seem adverse to letting women get permits.
Yeah, and we should also point out that Mayor de Blasio, who is currently on a futile bid to become president, he didn't get one single vote. I don't think in Iowa they have no desire to see this guy come anywhere close to the White House. One of his key aides and a bunch of police in the pistol permit section were convicted of taking bribes and improperly granting pistol permits to well-heeled advisors or well-heeled contributors to the de Blasio machine. I don't want to say campaign, because he's really done everything. Everything is for sale in New York now, pay to play. So it's just interesting that it's okay to effectively ban concealed weapon permits in New York for everyone except the politically well-heeled who contributed to his campaign. I mean, the guys are going to jail for this, and it's not shocking. I mean, you can't be surprised by it. It's not surprising, but the brazenness of it is what's surprising. So anyways, well, I guess we're going to have to see what happens here. But if we get another opening in the Supreme Court, would that be cause for optimism?
Well, as long as Trump is president.
That's what I mean.
Personally done a very good job with regard to the two vacancies that he's had so far. And Ginsburg, I guess, is 85 or 86 right now. She's going to hang on as long as she can. I don't think she'll make it through a second term, but my guess is she'll, even if she's comatose, she won't resign over the next year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And so, if what happens after the 2020 election is basically going to determine the fate of a lot of issues.
Yeah, I think you're right. And well, nobody can predict the future. Very few of us out there predicted that Trump would become president, and yet it happened. Hopefully the nationwide reciprocal handgun carry permit bill will go through, and that will end the debate as well.
Go through, all the Democrats that used to support it no longer do.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if they have to get 60 votes, because mm-hmm. Democrats will filibuster it in the Senate. So you're going to have a lot more Republicans in the Senate to get close to that. I mean, I think all the Republicans will continue to support it, but and they have in the past. But Democratic opposition is pretty much universal now.
Yeah. So. Oh, totally agree. Well, hey, Dr. Lott, we want to find your work and check out where your latest articles are. Where's the best place for that?
Our website is crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org.
All right. Excellent. So we'll, as always, have a link to it in our show notes. And send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Sign up for a newsletter, one going out very shortly. Dr. Lott, as always, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.